Well, Kent's supposed to be here, but he called me yesterday and he'd been exposed to that thing. So here we are. And I want to read the New Men Confessions of Psalms 91. For Kent, for every child and teacher, educator that's going back into this battle, we pray protection over everybody in Texas, Oklahoma, I just decided New Mexico, all around this whole area. We just say this thing is not going to stay here in the name of Jesus. It's going to depart. Enough is enough. Now listen, remember Kent. He that's dwelling in union in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will confess to the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He has delivered me from the snare of the fowler and from all diseases. I am covered with His feathers, and under His wings I safely trust. His truth and faithfulness are my sword and shield. I'm not afraid of the terror at night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the disease that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that destroys at noonday. Listen, 1,000 might fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I'm in union with the Most High. He's my refuge and my habitation. There can no evil get close to me. Neither shall any sickness come near my home. For He has given His angels charge over me to keep me and mine in all our ways. His angels will lift me up in their hands so that I don't stumble and fall. I have power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. I have set my love upon Him. Therefore, He says, He will deliver me, set me on high, seat me together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I need Him to help me, He's in union with me and will deliver me from every evil and share His glory with me. Listen, with long life will He satisfy me and show me His full salvation. Say full.
Full.
It's time for the full.
Yes.
Salvation. It's not time for part salvation. It's time for the full salvation. Amen. I was going to read this later, but I'm going to read it right now. God spoke to me a couple of months ago while I was walking in here. He says the book of Acts is the pattern for the church today and has been and always will be. The book of Acts is the pattern. Now listen, this is God's heart. God's heart for today is to rescue the book of Acts from becoming nothing more than a historical record and to put it back in its proper place as a pattern for the church today.
Amen.
The healing side of the full gospel is the greatest tool for evangelism there is. And the only answer to what's going on in the world today is a restoration of signs and wonders.
Amen.
God designed signs and wonders for a tool of evangelism and to deal with the enemy. And you know, you think about it. In the book of Acts, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto the people. He was the only evangelist mentioned in the whole New Testament. And it says, with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection. But what Philip did, he says, that when he went down there, he says, the people gave heed to the things he said, hearing and seeing the miracles that were done. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsies and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. It's time for great joy to be back in the city. There's no time for this stuff to be running rampant all over the world. The only answer. Listen, I want to tell you something. You think this is the only COVID that's going to be around? No. There'll be more following and more following. The only answer is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God. God, the psalm says, let God arise. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Let them that hate Him flee before Him. As it says, as wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. He's in you and He's the presence of God. Everywhere you go, the presence of God is going. So let God arise.
Yeah.
Let God arise. Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and His Spirit will be seen upon you. And it says, and nations will come to the brightness of your rising. So we need to let God arise. Let the book of Acts become the place it always was. It's called the old time gospel. Called Pentecostal, if you don't mind that word. It means Pentecostals. What's happened to the book of Acts? It has been delegated to a point in history. When I was a good Baptist and my pastor was teaching through the book of John, he got to the book of Acts, he skipped it and went to Romans. I said, why did you skip the book of Acts? He said, it's not relevant to the church today. I want to tell you something, that's demonic. The book of Acts is where the new birth of the church started, right there. That's when Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go. I got to go, because if I don't go, He won't send the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost has come, He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's going to take the things of my Father and show it to you. And He's going to show you things to come. That's the birth of the new covenant church, right there. And they went everywhere, preaching and teaching the Word of God. So we got to, I'm telling you, when I read, every time we read this, Dennis reads this every day in the coffee shop. When I hear that word full salvation, I say, God, it's time. God, you paid for the full salvation. It's time for us to experience full salvation, not only for ourselves, but for others. We need to rise up and take a stand against what's going on. You know, when we went to Uganda, you know, the Lord showed me, first thing we did was give an altar call for people to get saved. There was quite a few come down. But after the healing, after the deliverance, after all the signs and wonders, we gave another call for salvation. Twice as many came down the second time as the first time. That pattern has never changed. We did it every night. We saw it work every night. Twice as many at the end as was before. So that's the pattern. Don't be afraid of signs and wonders. It's what we got to rise up and say, this thing has no power. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. All full, full. And we need to rise up and take it and stand against the wiles of the devil. All He said you had to do is stand. He didn't say you had to do anything else. Why? You got all power and authority. So stand. Just stand. Learn to stand. Don't let them tell you what's going on. You tell them what's going on. So I think we need to see that. Amen, amen. Well, that doesn't have nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but just thought I'd throw that in. I'm going to talk about the Spirit of life for just a second. Jesus came to represent the kingdom of His Father. He never accommodated Himself to the culture of the age which He lived. He came to witness to the truth because He was the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth is living within you. The word truth in the Greek means reality. It means what's real. It never changes. Truth never changes. And He is the Spirit of truth. His life was in opposition to everything around Him. If He appeared today, He would be much as stranger as He was when He appeared to Israel. Because He never changes. God, what did God say to Malachi? He says, Jacob, it's a good thing that I don't change. He said, I am the Lord God, I don't change. Or you'd be consumed. So I want you to realize, He doesn't change. You're not going to change. So don't give in to that thing. You know, I heard Al Gore say years ago, and it floored me, he says, we must interpret the Constitution of the United States in the light of our changing culture. No. Wrong. God, what does He say in Proverbs? You watch those that are given to change. Says it real clear right there in Proverbs. You watch those that's given to change. Listen, He doesn't change. We don't change. That old-time religion's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough. Because it's the one that has the power and authority to do what He says. The law of the Spirit of life. brought us into a whole new realm. I want to read what in the, out of the Passion. Hallelujah. Feels pretty good, even though I've been on vacation. I like the anointing. I give you, this is Romans chapter 7 in the Passion, verse 25. I give thanks to God for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus Christ from the old law. That's what he's saying. The anointed one. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin, but now my renewed mind is fixed on, submitted to God's righteous principles. So now the case is closed. Chapter 8, verse 1. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union. Say life union. You can't get away from the life union with Jesus, the anointed one. For the law of the spirit of life flowing through the anointed one of Jesus has liberated us, set us free from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human flesh, nature. Yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be a sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn guilt and the power of sin. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. We are living by the life of another. Never doubt that for a second. You're living by the life of another. And we are free to live, not according to the flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. There's your guideline for your life. What are you pursuing? What's best for you or what's best for others? The old flesh can do nothing but what's best for itself. The new creation, it says, Paul said, I seek not my own will, but the will of God. He says, I do always those things that's further for my brethren. Even as I seek not my own will, but the will of God for others. That's the new creation in you. What's best for others? And you see that over and over and over. Oh, thank you, Lord. Where was I at? I get sidetracked every once in a while. Verse 5, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities, truth. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. The fact the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plans and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. Say cannot. For no matter how hard it tries, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but the Spirit. And you are not joined to the, you are joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, and you are not of Him. Said no. And if you're not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. That's pretty clear. Now Christ lives His life in you. I live my life by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. I live my life by the faith. His faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even through your body, even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you're fully accepted back to God. Oh, come on. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to live the same spirit that breathes life into you. Wow. So what? Flesh has no claims. No obligation. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Through the Holy Ghost, he wants you to put to death all that stuff. Amen? Amen. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll probably finish with this, you know, I don't mind. You know what I told Kent when he said, I'm sorry to leave you in this. I said, don't matter. I'm just excited to see what God wants to do. Amen. Have you seen what God can do? Proverbs chapter 4. I told Jim this morning. There it is. I dropped my mouse and it's acting goofy. This is the best day we ever had.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because the path of the just, verse 18, is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. You believe that? Thing don't want to move. Verse 20, my son. Now catch this. I want you to focus on this week. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all your flesh. What is health to your flesh? His word. So what are you to do? You're to attend to it. You're to incline your ear to it. You're to keep your eyes focused on it. Not depart from the right to the left. For it's life to those that, what's the key word? Find. And health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues, the wellsprings of life. Keep that heart, new heart. Guard your hearts. Be careful what you're looking at. Now go on down here to read, if I can get this to move down there. Okay. Verse 23, passion. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from it flows the wellsprings of life. Avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words no matter what. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead, ignoring life's distractions. Is there a few distractions? Weapons of mass distraction. That's the enemy's number one tool. It's flooding. You can't watch the news without being bombarded with distractions. And they're usually all negative distractions. ABC, well, he does, at the very end of it, he usually does one positive thing in about 30 seconds. One positive thing through 30 minutes. We need to avoid those distractions. Guard your heart. Keep you. Attend to his word. Incline your ears to his sayings. And you keep your eyes focused. Those are things that you got to do. You got to do. Why I'm saying, yeah, you got to do it. Because why? There's where your life is. There's where your health is.
Amen.
We got to say, he sent his word and healed. It's the word of God that we need to get in us. It has the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Amen.
It's in the good news of the word. Isaiah 53 is the gospel of what Jesus did for you, spirit, soul, and body. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming. We've got a hold of the Spirit. Thank God we got exchange. But saints, it's time that we get a hold of the body.
Amen.
I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The key to health is having a healthy soul life. It's your mind, your will, and your motives. Keep that heart with all diligence. From it, the soul flows, and that you prosper in health as your soul prospers. I'm ready for the full salvation. How many is ready for full salvation? Jesus didn't die for a partial salvation. He died for full salvation. And it's time for us to stay focused on what he did for us. Yet it pleased God to crush him, to make his soul an offering for sin. God will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. My righteous servant will justify many, for he'll bear their iniquities. Jesus took it, spirit, soul, and body, so we can be whole, spirit, soul, and body. And if that same spirit, Paul said, that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will make alive your body.
Amen.
My body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is God's. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If my body, and you know what? this breath. What does the enemy attack in this COVID thing? Your breath. Comes to take your breath away. Listen, Jesus, whenever he created Adam and Eve, and after he created them, he just looked at them, but there was no life in them. But he breathed the breath of life into them. Amen. Jesus, first time he met the disciples, he came through the door and was eating fish, and he said this. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. As my Father sent me, so send I you." See, the enemy wants to attack your breath. Why? Because that's where these words come from. The creative power of the word comes from a spoken word. The spoken word. Jesus went with the disciples, confirming their words with signs following. It's time for you to start speaking those things. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Start decreeing today. I decree that this enemy is not going to be dominant over this area. I want to tell you something. It's got to start. It's got to start. We got to get rid of this thing and run it out, because I'm telling you, it is. And the vaccine is not the answer. They can't create enough vaccines. But you know, when Joshua, when they disobeyed God and 14,700 of them died, says that Joshua stood between God and the people, said, "That's enough." He interceded and said, "That's enough." Yep. We got to say, "That's enough." Yep. Say, "That's enough."
That's
say,
"Not on my
watch." So it's time to rise and shine.
Yeah.
Go ahead and rise. Stand up. I'm through anyhow.